have been in a theory called Everyday Disciple. And what a journey it has been. We've been talking about the four different roles or the four different traits of what an everyday disciple looks like. And at Lake Point Church, our goal here is to help every person is to become an everyday disciple. Not just a disciple on Sunday, but all throughout the week. And so we look at these four roles. We first started talking about what it means to be a spirit-led follower. That's a person who listens and follows the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Then we talk about the role of a courageous missionary. That's a person who boldly tells the world, tells others about who Jesus is. Then we talk about the role of a generous servant. We talk about how a person leverages the time, the treasures, the talents to bless others. Today, the final piece, we're going to talk about what it means to be a compassionate guide, a person who helps others in their walk with Jesus. And let's be honest, the end game for every one of us here is not just to be a disciple, but to become a disciple maker. That's part of the Great Commission. We're to go and tell people about Jesus and to disciple them and to teach them about how to live like Jesus. And so every one of us here are called to be a disciple maker, a compassionate guide. Not too far from Lake Point, where we're at in Shelby Township, is the famous headquarters for the Leader Dogs for the Blind, right there on the corner of Rochester Road and Avon. It's been there since 1939, that's where it all started, same location, started in an old farmhouse, and since then they have developed into a complex about 14 to 15 acres, where they have trained over the years, they have trained over 50,000 dogs to help blind people in their walk, and 50,000. And we can give a lot of credit and thanks to the Lions Club Organization of America, where they completely fund the training and the feeding of these dogs. And then when the dogs is ready, they will bring a candidate, a blind person. They will fly that blind person into Rochester. They will put that person up for a couple of nights and help them get trained and familiar with their new dog. And so Lions Club, they've been paying for that for years and helping blind people have a dog. Just recently, I just found out that they have leader dogs, not just for the blind, but for the deaf. Now, come on, maybe I can get a free dog. And I know my kids will love it, but we're not gonna go there. But anyway, they got leader dogs for the blind, deaf people. Incredible what they're doing just down the road from us. They take these independent, the strong alpha dogs. And over the course of 4 to 6 months, the transformation happens, where they become gentle, humble, and moving into active service, where they're helping blind people with their footing, with their direction in their life. And in the same way, that's what God wants to do with all of us. God wants to transform us from our independent, you know, our alpha self. He wants to transform us through active humility and service for others and to help them to walk and to help with their footing in a new life that they have in Jesus Christ. And so the rest of this message, Pastor Chris, our executive pastor, he's going to talk about what it's going to take for you to become a compassionate guide.
Not sure what that was about, but there was the introduction for the message and just kind of a reminder of what we looked at starting several weeks ago. And last week, if you were not here for the Michael Perrin meetings on Saturday and Sunday, I would encourage you to go back and watch those. And just what an amazing time it was together as a church. Many people found help and healing through those messages, and so if you have not seen those, if you weren't here for it, please go back and watch it and just enjoy the message and see what God may have for you through that. But Pastor Scott talked about The first week, he talked about the Spirit-led follower. Second week, he talked about courageous missionary. Third week, generous servant. And today, we're talking about the compassionate guide. And what that means, to be a guide, and that is for everyone here. Every one of us is to be a guide. And oftentimes, when you get a membership at a gymnasium, you'll walk in and you'll say, yeah, I want to become a member. And they'll say, well, what is it that you want to accomplish? What are you trying to do here? What is it? Is it strength? What is it? And they'll try to get out of you what it is that you're trying to see done while you're there at the gymnasium. And then they'll take you to the machinery, and they say, well, if you're trying to strengthen your legs, this machine will help you strengthen your legs. This one, your arm, this one, your back. And they'll walk you through it, and they'll try to help you achieve your goals. Well, churches are similar in that we don't have a machine that you can get on to strengthen your spirit, and a machine you can get on to strengthen your will, and a machine you get on to strengthen your prayer life. But there is a process through Scripture that Pastor Scott has led us through, started, and saying, okay, so how do we become everything that God intends for us to be? And that doesn't apply for some. That applies for everyone sitting here today. You are supposed to become everything that God wants you to become. And so this Everyday Disciple series is not something that we are wanting you to listen to one time and then put it away and ignore it. We want you to take this series, apply it, and then constantly revisit that and say, how am I being a generous servant in the church? What am I doing? How am I fulfilling that piece? How about a Spirit-led follower? Am I fulfilling that piece of being a Spirit-led follower? Or have I found myself over recent days, weeks, months, stepping back from doing what God wants me to do because I'm getting intimidated or it's fearful or I'm nervous? And I got to continually work to see that I am continually following these principles that are being laid out for us here in Scripture. A few weeks ago, Pastor Scott, he read this verse. It's the first verse in your handout, Hebrews 10, chapter 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. That word spur carries the idea of motivating, inspiring, or even gently prodding someone forward in their walk with God. And that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to constantly be prodding people to move forward in their walk with God. Many years ago, when my kids were about 10, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there, we were in Virginia, and there's a picture that's going to go on the screen here of a walk called Dragon's Tooth. This is a hike you can do. It's part of the Appalachian Trail. Appalachian Trail's 2,200 miles. This was not 2,200 miles. This is only about 2 miles. But this Dragon's Tooth, it's called that because at the peak of the mountain, there's these sharp, jagged rocks that look like teeth that you can climb on. That is not a picture of me. I would not be doing that. But you can climb up onto these jagged rocks. And I thought we were in Virginia. I'm like, this would be fun to do. So I got my 9-year-old boy, my 10-year-old girl, and 11-year-old girl, and I said, hey, you want to go for a hike? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, let's go for a hike. And we went to the mouth, the beginning of this trail, and it had a big sign, and it was a paved road. And I'm like, this is going to be easy. So we started walking down the paved road, and all of a sudden, the paved road ended, and it came to a gravel trail. Not too bad. Kept going, and the trail got a little bit smaller and smaller and smaller as we climbed up through the woods, and eventually we came to a place where there was no trail at all. There was simply an arrow painted on a rock and rebar stuck in that they had drilled into the rock, and you had to climb up the ladder. And I'm thinking, I'll be the last one up, and I'll catch the kids if they fall. So the kids went up. I climbed up after them. It was fine. Then as we were going along, it was still narrow and rocky and jagged, and we got to a place where some of these teeth were against the edge of the mountain, and you literally had about 9 inches that you had to walk this way across the rock, and it was probably a 40 or 50 foot drop down. And as any good dad does, I said, well, we're almost to the top. We might as well keep going. So my little kids, 9, 10, and 11, they're like, sure, Dad? It's fine. You're going to be good. You can do this. You can do this. So we got through that. We went up to the top there. We did not go to the peak of those mountain, or those teeth. But we got out there, and the view is that view. It was just absolutely amazing, the beautiful view that we went on. We spent a little bit of time up there, and then I'm like, all right, let's go back down, and down past the 9-inch ledge, down past the rebar that you had to climb down, down onto the small trail, to the wider trail, to the paved trail, and I'm like, we made it. Got home, and Rebecca's like, so what'd you do with the kids today? We went for a little hike. She only needs to know certain details, not all the details, right? So later, a couple days later, she said, hey, you were talking about that hike. I'd like to do that. I'm like, I don't know. The view's not that great. She's like, yo, you really, like, you built this up. Let's go do it. So we go, and we go to the mouth of the trail, and it's this paved road, and she's like, man, this is easy. And we're walking along, and it goes to gravel and smaller, and we ended up having to get to the place where the rebar was, and she's like, you brought the kids up here? Like, yeah, it's fine. They did great. We climb up that. We get to the edge where the 9-inch ledge, and she looked at me and she said, you brought the kids up here? Well, it's fine. It's fine. And the kids, they've done it once, and so they've already scattered across it. And so we get up there, and guiding my kids through those dangerous places is kind of what we do as followers of Christ. It's really easy for us to be guides when the trail is paved and the signs are there. It's easy for us to be a guide then. But when you get to the places that you have to climb up or that you have to move carefully through, and all you're doing is following painted arrows on rocks, hoping that it leads you to the right place, guiding people through those areas, I was at ease the second time that I went through because I had done it once. I knew what to expect. And so I was able to guide my wife, who had never been through it, how to climb up this to see what God had created. And isn't that a picture of what we do in the Christian life? Is that we are guiding people through some things that are easy, they're really wide and paved, but some things that are difficult and challenging, because we want them to get to the point where they can see why they were created. And too many times, we don't have people that help us and guide us through those moments. We don't have people that will walk with us through life when it's challenging and difficult. And so today, we're going to look at what it means to be a compassionate guide. So number one here, a compassionate guide is relational, not transactional. A compassionate guide is relational, not transactional. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. It ought to be our heart's desire to share with people the gospel message, because that is truly the thing that's going to save people. That's truly the thing that's going to change their life. Not any encouraging words that we have to say, but when God steps in and moves in somebody's life, they will be changed. And so our goal should be to get the gospel to them, but Paul challenges us not to just worry about getting the gospel. He said, but share your life. He said to the church at Thessalonica, they did that. That church so encouraged us by not just giving us the gospel and encouraging us in the gospel, but encouraging us by being with us. Oftentimes, isn't it nice to have somebody with you? I remember we're coming up to Halloween time, and I remember going down this haunted trail one time, and we were with my brother-in-law, and if you met him, he's a pretty big guy. And he was going down this trail, and we were, being macho about this. But something jumped up and scared us. He screamed like a girl and grabbed me. And I'm like, dude, I was more scared of that than I was of whatever was jumping out at us. Having somebody with you sometimes in those scary moments, is good. But you know, isn't there just a peace about having somebody with you? Just walking, just having somebody there, not necessarily saying anything, but just having somebody there. Sometimes it's nice to have that person that is encouraging to you. But we're not supposed to just be somebody who is there because we're there. If you look at the next point, we're there because we're not supposed to be transactional. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. We're relational. I'm with you, no strings attached. Those people that are there with you, no matter what challenge you face, no matter what happens, no matter what comes in life, they are there saying, I am with you, come what may, I am with you. And that's what God is calling us to be as we are compassionate guides, is we are walking with people, not because of what they can do for me, but because of what the gospel has done in me that I can share with them, that I can walk with them, that I can give to them, that I can do for them. And I'm just there no matter what. Good days, bad days, I'm there for them. Ask yourself this question, who am I walking with? As we begin this idea of being a compassionate guide, who is there in your life that you can say, I am with that person in and out? It's been years. I've been with them. We've walked through life together. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's really easy. But there is somebody that I'm walking through life with. Maybe there's somebody that's new in your life, that God has brought them across your path, and now you get to walk with them as they are on that journey that God, you can say, God ordained this for us to be together, and I'm now going to walk with them through the life that God brings. Who is it you're walking with? If we're going to be a compassionate guide, we have to have people that we serve no matter what, not transactional, but because it's relational. Number two, a compassionate guide speaks truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You ever have those people that they just, I just say it how it is? You have those people? You know anybody like that? Don't raise that hand if it's the person sitting next to you. Don't. Just keep looking forward. Sometimes it's nice to have people who will tell you how it is. You know, like when you're eating a hot dog and you got a glob of mustard or ketchup on your face and everybody's just looking at you like, and nobody wants to say, hey, dude, you got something on your face. That person that just says that, you're like, oh, thank you. Why was all of you not doing that? Sometimes we have things in life that we want people to say in love so that it can be received well. Paul says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. I heard a story about a husband and a wife, and the wife had a cat that she just absolutely adored. She loved this cat. And she went on a vacation with a friend, and on that vacation, the cat climbed out the upper story window of their house, jumped onto the tree, went over to the tree, went after a bird, swatted after the bird, missed the bird, fell out of the tree, fell to the ground, and died. So the husband thought, well, I've got to tell my wife. So he calls his wife and he says, hey, I got something to tell you. He said, your cat climbed out on a tree, missed a bird, and died. And she's like, what? Why would you tell me that? Why wouldn't you break it up into little segments to let me know, hey, your cat got outside, I'm looking for it. The next day, it's like, hey, still looking for your cat, but I think I saw it in a tree. And the next day, I saw your cat, it was in a tree, but unfortunately, it fell and died. She's like, you could have just broken it to me easily. He said, okay. So she was still on her trip, and her mother, who had been ailing, passed away. And so he called his wife. He said, hey, your mother's out in a tree. I don't know that that's exactly what we need to do, is to walk with grace like that. But our truth needs to be tempered with grace, with love. As you do, you find that A compassionate guide doesn't walk with someone, they walk with them in the right direction. As you are speaking the truth in love and you're walking with somebody, we have to make sure that we are encouraging them to walk in the right direction. As my kids and I were on the Appalachian Trail, which is 2,200 miles, it is not important for us that we were just walking on the Appalachian Trail, is that we were walking in the right direction on the Appalachian Trail. Otherwise, we would have been 2,200 miles going in the wrong direction. You need somebody that's going to say to you, this is the way that you need to go. Let me help you walk this direction. So you're encouraging them to walk in the right direction. Jesus modeled this balance perfectly. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus modeled this, and so many times in Scripture we see Jesus living this idea of grace and truth out. If you think about the story of the woman who was caught in adultery and brought before Jesus, and the men had stones in their hand, and they were ready to stone her, and they said, Jesus, what do we do? Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Jesus could have been that one that threw the first stone at her, but instead he bent down and he wrote in the sand, and when he looked up, they were all gone, stones were on the ground, and he says to the lady, where are your accusers? And she said, they've all gone. And notice what Jesus said, because oftentimes we think that when we walk with people, that we don't say anything about what they're doing. We're just there for you. No matter what's happening, I'm there for you. And there is a point of that. But notice what Jesus said. He said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Quit doing what you're doing that's sinful. Begin living right, but I'm here with you. That's what it means to live with grace and truth, to walk with people, to be able to say to them through a long relationship, hey, something's not right in your life. I don't know what it is. One of the things that I love about Lake Point and our life groups is the purpose of life groups is to get to know people. Oftentimes we sit here and we can walk in, and you can walk in that back door having just yelled at your kids in the car, thrown your coffee on your lap. Life is a mess, but you hit the back doors and you know what happens? You put on your church smile. How you doing? Good, good. Welcome. We're glad we're here. Can't wait to go home, continue this argument we've been in. It's going to be fun. But in a circle where you're known by people and people can see you, you can look at somebody in the eyes and you can see that something is going on. How many of you this morning, you would raise your hand and say, I have been through something that is difficult, not necessarily physical, but emotionally. I've been through something that's difficult. Raise your hand. Come on. Okay? Almost everybody. If you raise your hand saying you have been through something that is challenging and difficult, you can identify that in other people's faces. There was a man that I knew years ago that he was walking up towards the church building, and I looked at his face, and I knew instantly that there was something that was wrong. He was carrying a weight. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want you to know that if you want to talk about it, I'm here for you. He said, man, I didn't know that it was showing. I'm like, man, I've been through stuff. I can see it. He called me that week, and he said, can we meet for lunch? We met for lunch. We sat across the table from one another, and he began to just weep about a problem and something he was facing in his life. And, you know, as a man, that's probably the worst thing that you could ever do is sit across the table from somebody who's crying, especially if it's your wife, because you're sitting there, and she starts crying, and now you're like, everybody's looking at you going, what are you doing to her, you big jerk? It's not me. But he begins weeping. And I just told him, you know, I'm here to help you. I'm here to walk with you through this. And so for months after that, just checking in on him, keeping up with him, letting him know that, man, I'm here. Just because it's messy doesn't mean that I'm gone. I'm here for you. And that's what people need, is they need you to walk alongside them and speak truth into their life. Sometimes that truth hurts. But oftentimes that's what people need. They need the truth. Without truth, love loses its power. Without love, truth loses its influence. You may have something that you want to tell somebody that is true, but if you don't do it lovingly, it can lose the impact that it should have. So number one, compassionate guide is relational, not transactional. A compassionate guide, number two, speaks truth in love. Number three, a compassionate guide is an encourager. Encouragement is the act of giving someone strength. It's putting courage back into someone's heart. Do you know we all need encouragers? We hope that this morning, by the time you got into this room, that you were encouraged. We hope that the parking lot attendants weren't grunting at you.
Move along.
We hope that you were met with a smiling face, somebody that loves you, that has been praying for you, that you would get here and that God would speak to you through the events of today. We know the guy at the back door. It's hit and miss with him sometimes. We know him. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. We all have to endure. But we love Dennis. When Dennis is not there, no matter, yeah, right? When Dennis is not there, everybody's like, where's Dennis? Well, good to see you too. It's not good morning, it's always, where's Dennis? Our greeters that were in the hallway and in the lobby and in the auditorium handing out programs, they were smiling, hopefully, that they were shaking your hand, they were welcoming you to the service. And so by the time you get here, you're walking in going, man, I feel better. I feel better today. Because we know what God has for you here in this place. We're not doing it just to make you smile. We're doing it because we are glad that you're here, because God brought you here, because God has something for you today. Maybe it was the worship. Maybe this morning you were walking in heavy-hearted and the worship just lifted your heart out of that pit of despair that you were walking in. And you just rejoiced over the fact that God is faithful. God is good. We know that today is about walking with people, guiding them, helping them, encouraging them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So this church was building each other up. They were encouraging one another. And Paul recognized that and said, man, continue doing that. We all need somebody who will encourage us. I like to tell wives that husbands are just big boys. When a husband does something, sometimes there's as much question mark in his head whether he can actually do it as what's in his wife's head. Can he really do this? But for your wife to walk alongside you and walk up to you and go, baby, I'm excited. I can't wait to see you do this. You're going to be so good at this. You are a master electrician. I'm not really. I just hope I don't die today. And you do it, you wire up the dishwasher or whatever it is, and you try it intrepidly. You send one of your kids to push the start button. You're like, I'm going to stand back. Go push that start button, see if it works. And it works like it's supposed to, and your wife comes along and says, baby, I knew you could do it. You know what you do? You're like, yes, I can. Why? Because we've just been encouraged in something that we've doubted. Don't we all need that? Don't we all need somebody who will walk up to us and just encourage us in something that we're doubting? Something that we're just not sure about? Something that maybe, God speaks a word to you and he says, you know what? Go talk to that person. Go share an encouraging word to that person. Go lift them up. Go challenge them with this truth that you've learned. Encouragers are needed all across this world. Every word we speak either tears down or strengthens someone's faith. Every word. We all know the power of a word. We all know the power of the tongue can build up or can tear down. Is your tongue the tongue of an encourager? Are you encouraging the people around you, your family? Are you encouraging the people at work? It doesn't even necessarily have to be religious in nature, but just to walk into work and be like, you got this, man. If that's not you, people are going to look at you like, what are you on? And you can tell them, it is Jesus who lives through me, and I live for him. He does not control my happiness. My joy comes from him. And you encourage people and live in the way that he wants you to live. Your encouragement could be the spark that reignites someone's faith. We don't know the times that people walk through these doors of our church and they have said, this is the last chance I'm giving God. This is it. One more shot. And you speak that word of encouragement. You smile at them, shake their hand. You know, there are people that walked into this building this morning. I saw a couple this morning. They were walking down the hallway and they just had this joy on their face because they just dropped off two kids in the nursery. They said, we're going to both services today. We're just going to leave the kids in there. Do you know when they walk down to the nursery and that kid is crying because they don't want to go and that nursery worker knows that child and that parent sees that nursery worker and hands that child off and is able to, with joy, run from the nursery. That nursery worker is an encourager. How many of you could go in there and rock a baby for some parent who is just like, I need some time? Our children's workers, they're not down there just playing games with your kids. They're down there teaching children that God loves them. Helping them to memorize scripture. Helping them to memorize the books of the Bible. What did you learn in kids' church today? I can say all 66 books of the Bible. And you're like, there's 66 books? Yeah, they're teaching them all the 66 books of the Bible. What an encouragement that is to parents to go, you know what, those people don't just love my kid, they love them enough to teach them the Bible. You come in here on Monday night, you come to the church and the parking lot's going to be packed. And there are workers here with a ministry that serves our community. And they are filled with joy. I'm usually here when they arrive and they're just happy about it. You come in here on student ministry night and you'll find youth leaders who are praying that God would just make this hour and a half feel like 10 minutes. Just get this over with. No, they're excited about being here with our students. They love our students. They love not just being with them playing games. They love being with them and serving them and teaching them scripture and walking through life with them. You come when there's life groups that are happening and you'll find leaders who are excited about being part of teaching people the gospel. You be here when D groups are happening and you'll find men and women that are together, that are studying God's word, memorizing scripture, excited about life. Why? Because they are encouraging one another, not just to do things, but to live as God intended for them to live. Are you an encourager today? If you don't get anything else, walk out of here determined to be an encourager to somebody. Encourage somebody that you see in the parking lot. As a matter of fact, right now, I want you to look at the person beside you and say, I want to encourage you today. Go ahead, look at somebody. I want to encourage you today. Hopefully you knew the person, otherwise it just gets awkward because now you got to exchange phone numbers and all that kind of stuff. But you can be an encouragement today. It doesn't take a lot. You can be a greeter in the hallway, and you don't even really have to talk to anybody. You just grab their hand, nice to see you, and you pull them along, and you send them down the way. Nice to see you. That's it. Smile. Be happy. You just have to learn that I can be an encourager. Encourage somebody today. Start with your family. Go to work tomorrow. Encourage somebody. Number four, a compassionate guide walks with grace through messy journeys. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We want our journeys to go from start, straight line, to finish. But our journeys look like this on the screen. You start, it seems to be going okay, and then things get really wobbly, and now it's just a big mess, and you're like trying to figure out how to get it. Do you know where we need compassionate guides? In the middle of the messy. It's easy to walk with somebody when it's a big paved road. But it's when it's rebar and narrow steps and 30-foot cliffs, man, it's challenging. But that's where the guide comes in. Hey, you know what? It's okay. I've been there. You all know the story of a couple years ago. That was weird. There was a fuzz. It just popped right in front of my head. A couple years ago, I had my diagnosis of cancer. And I purposefully reached out to three guys. And I said, hey, would you walk with me through this? I needed people in my messy. There were things going on in me that I needed help to navigate spiritually. Sometimes I just needed encouragement. But I knew that there were people that I could go to and say, hey, would you walk with me through this? Sometimes we need people like that. Sometimes we need people that will be able to know us well enough to say, I know you don't think you need a guide right now, but can I walk with you through this journey that you're on? Can I be there? Can I support you? How can I do that? You know, if there is somebody, if you're working, you're doing something, you're driving down the road, you're at home watching football, and all of a sudden somebody pops into your mind, reach out and text them right then. You would be surprised. And if you ask God, lead me to the people you want me to encourage, the names that will pop into your head. And you'll reach out to them and they'll say, man, thanks for the text. I really needed that right now. Learn to be an encourager through the messy things. Grace doesn't walk away when life gets complicated. Grace walks through it. Just because it gets complicated doesn't mean I'm walking away. I am here. I'm walking with you through life. So how do you live this out this week? Four things and we're done. Number one, identify one person. You can intentionally invest in someone. You can encourage, so pray for, check in on, somebody that you do it on a regular basis. Who is your one? Who's the person? God may have just thrown that name into your mind. Maybe you don't have anybody there that you're like, man, that's the person. Ask God to give you that person. Who is it that you can encourage this week? Number two, reach out this week. Send a message, make a call, grab coffee, ask how they're really doing and listen. The hardest part of being a guide is that last word, listen. Because we want to say to people, I've been there, this is how you do it, step here, do this thing, make this happen, and they're just going, I just want somebody to talk to. listen. Reach out to them, then listen. Number three, share what God's teaching you. Sometimes the most powerful discipleship moments happen when you simply open up about how God is growing you. Listen to their problems, listen to their challenges, listen to their difficulties, and then say, you know what? I've walked through something similar, and this is what God did for me in that journey. And then number four, be consistent. Continually show up. Real growth happens through ongoing presence, not one-time conversations. This is an ongoing thing that happens. We are all called to be compassionate guides. If you are here this morning, you can be a guide. You may be one day ahead of somebody, but that's all that matters, is being just ahead of them. And that journey starts when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is a great day to do that and begin this journey with God. You see, when we got to the top of that mountain through all the challenges, we were able to see what God had created. You will never know what you were created for if you don't know Him as your Savior. And so it starts there. It starts by realizing that you are a sinner and there's a gap between you and God that you can't fill. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins so that we don't have to pay the penalty of separation from God, but He reconciled us to God through His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection. And if I simply put my faith and trust in what Jesus did, I can spend eternity with my Heavenly Father. And that eternity does not begin when I die, that eternity begins today. When you receive Him, you now live out that which God has for you to live. And you see why you were created. You were created to be a compassionate guide. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for Your word and the truths that are in it and how it challenges us. Lord, would You take this thought of being a compassionate guide and help us to see that person or those people that You want us to lead. You want us to walk alongside and just do life with. Speaking truth with love, guiding and directing. Father, we ask that You would help us as a church to become everyday disciples, to be Spirit-led, generous, courageous, and a compassionate guide for You. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing in this place. And I pray that if there's one here this morning that does not know You, that they would come to the front at the end of the service and talk with our prayer team that is there to begin guiding them on this journey of following You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.